irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, October 30th. LA is still on fire, and right now it's spreading in Simi Valley, which is where the Reagan Library is, and apparently there's a lot of evacuations there and stuff. The wind is getting stronger, and as we all know, every time it's windy here, we get fires. It's almost like a habit now, so we grew to expect it, and God knows how they start, but that's what we have. So there's a mandatory evacuation in Simi this morning, and if you're there, be on the lookout. You know. Also, I took a few days off and stuff because I'm still trying to sort of like take it easy after my stroke a month ago, and I'm feeling a lot better now. Changed my lifestyle and everything. So things are getting back to normal, and we appreciate your patience with us as we play some replays on days I'm not here. But I'm here the rest of the week. And as you noticed, we don't have co-hosts anymore. I decided to take a break with those two. And again, just to try and take it easier a little bit as I'm getting back into life. Today I have a very special guest. I'm joined by, Matthew Kowalski. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thank you, Sam. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. What do you think of the fires in LA? You're visiting here, right?
Right, and it's dreadful. It feels like a cataclysmic movie,
right?
Being on set already.
I know. It's sort of like after a war or something, right? A war zone. And every day it seems to be in different parts of L.A., so it's pretty scary, you know. People get evacuated and everything. Yesterday and the day before, I guess some of the celebrities had to evacuate like they were any more special than we are. But, you know, it was in the richer areas of town. So welcome to the show, Matthew. You're visiting us from where?
Warsaw, Poland.
You're from Poland?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Have you been to LA before?
Oh, yeah. Many times.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what it's like. You know your way around.
I suppose so, yeah.
When was the first time you came here? Was that a long time ago?
Yeah, a number of years. Number of years.
Yeah. And what brought you here the first time?
I've got family in the States. So the
you do?
So the first trip was purely visiting family and having a drive around. We took a great drive from San Francisco down the coast to LA, so it's a pleasant memory,
right?
And a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And being a filmmaker, it's only natural that I gravitate towards the epicenter of filmmaking world,
right,
which is Los Angeles. Yeah.
That's true. A lot of people come here, you know, for that particular thing. So, and we'll talk about your movie. You made a really cool movie, which is you're eligible to be considered for the Oscar next year, right?
2020. The coming Academy Awards.
Right, but it's for 2019.
Right, yeah, that's right. Correct.
That is very cool, you know? I mean, does that make you feel good?
Oh, sure. It surely does.
After all the work you put in and everything to get the recognition is pretty cool. And you'll probably be there. You'll probably even be close to winning because everybody that works with Catherine does very well, you know? So
she's a marvel.
Yeah,
she's
so that's why. And I always say that because it's true, you know? Last year she had four nominees who were her clients. So that's very cool. And you're in good company.
All right.
Yeah. So you're visiting us for how long now? How long are you going to be in LA?
Altogether, I'm around for 3 weeks. Uh-huh. And straight out of LA, I have three film festivals to visit. So out of LA, I'm flying to Miami for Miami Short Film Festival. And then it's Rome, Georgia, uh-huh, another film festival, which is brilliant. I've been there a couple of years ago, and I'm so happy to be coming back. and then St. Louis. So I
treated
myself to a
is
festival.
Is there a festival run here too that you came to?
I just missed it. There was a festival 2 weeks ago in which my film was screened, but I couldn't make it then.
I see. So you got here a little later.
Right, a little late.
And what do you do now? Now you're promoting? You're like in a promotion tour and everything?
Yep. I'm in a promotion tour and also meeting some producers and some agents. I have feature films in development, which I hope to take off the ground. So it's a good place. It's a good place to do that.
Very cool. And did you have any movies before Atlas, which is the movie you're promoting currently? I would imagine you started making films early on in your life?
My story is that I was studying medicine and film directing simultaneously at two different universities.
At the same time?
Yeah.
And, wow.
And I sort of couldn't make a negative decision which one do I want to let go.
Right.
So that's why I was stuck with doing both for a number of years. And it's
that's
only
a pretty heavy load of school,
yeah, it was.
Right?
I do not recommend that. Like, right. if there's any listeners planning to do both at the same time, just take my word for it. Don't
do it, right?
Don't do
but
it.
But you
no,
were just impatient. You wanted to accomplish a lot quickly, I would imagine, right?
I don't know. It's probably a job of a therapist and a good one to unravel that.
To figure out why you did that.
To figure that out. but you know, the thing is that it's only some years later that I asked myself the same question in a positive sense. So not what do I want to let go of, but what do I want to go big on? Like, what do I want to focus and embrace and what does energize me? And I think just rephrasing that question made all the difference.
There
and
you go.
I don't know why it took me 4 years to do that, but I'm glad it
well,
happened.
Well, we grow, anyway. You know? I mean, you grow, you learn new things about life and everything, and that's very cool. So so medicine must have taken you a while, right?
Oh, yeah, altogether 7 years.
7 years in medical, in undergrad and medical school.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. That's correct.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hustle.
Yeah, yeah. But what drew you to medicine in the first place?
I'm fascinated by the science of medicine, and I still do. It's only that I took it like empirically. So like if I spent a night in a hospital as a student. It didn't happen too often, but we had some classes in which we would spend a night at the hospital. I would be frustrated and exhausted. Uh-huh. And then if I would spend a night on a film set, I would feel energized and happy to be there. So like experientially, it felt like a no-brainer, like just to go towards the things that give us energy and enthusiasm.
That's true. So did you regret going to medical school after all these years, or are you happy you did?
I think in order to move forward, we all of us just need to heal the wounds and just accept past as it is. Otherwise, it's gonna be there to haunt us.
Right.
So I was regretting it, but I see it as a learning experience, and I think we need to be kind to ourselves about
and it can't be bad. I mean, you go, you know, medical school is not a bad thing to have, and maybe later on in your life you'll decide that's what you want to do, you know. I don't know, after you made all the films that are in your head, you know.
Right. when I get bored with movies already,
exactly, yeah, you know, so you'll have medicine to get into. But it's such two different fields, you know. I mean, that it's amazing that you were able to pursue two interests that you had, you know. Now, was it like, did your parents push you to medical school and stuff, or was that like a conscious choice?
They are both doctors of medicine.
Oh,
and I'll leave you. There
you go.
I'll leave you to take the conclusion.
Yeah, right. Well, so they're both medical doctors.
Yeah.
Your parents.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So I guess. Yeah, I guess it's just the mood at home.
Right, yeah.
Right, then you decide, well,
what
else?
You sort of subconsciously, like by osmosis, you sort of breathe that in.
Right, you take it on and decide, okay, that's all I know, you know, that's what I know, and maybe that's what I should pursue and stuff. And I'm sure your parents had something to say in that too, you know.
Sure thing.
So what was it like growing up in Warsaw? Do you have any siblings at all, brothers?
I have an older brother.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? Which university did he do? Medical as well.
Medical, oh my God. So, and you guys went to college in Warsaw, in Poland?
No, in the south of the country, in Katowice.
Oh, okay. So you both went to the same school?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Very cool. How much older is he?
6 years.
Six years.
So we just missed each other.
Right.
I was starting when he
So
finished.
You went to different times and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in Warsaw? I mean, is it, it's a pretty modern city, right?
Yeah, it is.
And, but the weather there is pretty cold, right? Pretty rough.
If your frame of reference is Los Angeles, then it's the exact polar opposite you can think of. So it's Central Europe.
Right.
I grew up in Katowice, so uh-huh. It's a big industrial city in the south of the country, and so half of the year it's rather gloomy and the overcast sky is taking its toll
right.
on your psyche. At least it did on mine.
Right.
So soaking up the sun here is a good change.
A good change for you, right? Yeah. I know. I mean, I just have like when I think of Poland, I just have those grim images of the war and stuff, you know, and stuff. Because today, I don't know, maybe they're not doing enough promotion of the country itself, you know, but I don't know. I don't know what to expect if I go to Poland. You know what I'm saying? But
it's bound to surprise you.
Right.
I can bet on that.
Yeah. So is tourism pretty good there? I mean, do a lot of people go to Poland to visit?
There's fantastic tourism.
Really?
There are some great wilderness. Hard to find in other places in Europe. Great lakes, great mountains. So if you're an outdoorsy type, there's definitely a place to go.
Right.
And if you're an urbanite and love cities with a vibe of its own, you'll find plenty as well. Krakow is definitely a place to visit.
Oh, really?
Like, add it to your bucket list if you have one.
Yeah, there you go. You see, I never thought of traveling to Poland, but maybe next time I'm in Europe, I'll check it out.
Give me a call. No? I'll give you a tour.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot of sad history there and stuff, but I guess it's part of history that you probably should capture too when you're a tourist and check it out and everything, right?
Of course.
Yeah. But I guess that's sort of like a cloud over Poland, but it was so many years ago that things are different there now, I would imagine, right?
Oh, they're very different.
Like, yeah.
You wouldn't believe the 30 years of change
right.
that happened.
Right. Very interesting. So, yeah, I remember Poland was really the center for, like, during the years of the Soviet Union. It was pretty much stuck right there, right? I mean, there was a lot of Russian influence and stuff in Poland. It was pretty difficult to live there, would you say?
I have no idea.
No,
I mean,
it was before your time.
Not first perspective.
Right.
I mean, I read that from books or hear that right. from people, but thankfully it was before my time.
Right,
so I have
exactly.
no memories, and I wasn't around.
Yeah.
I wasn't around to experience
that. So for
that.
You, it's just history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So so you went to school and everything, and then you decided film is what you like more. That's where your passion lies. So did you make any significant films when you were a student? Because I know usually you have to make one or two films, right?
I made a number of shorts, and they were awarded at different international festivals. So,
really?
I was fortunate to do that, and I enjoyed the entire process, and that what's kept me going. Because
right.
like independent filmmaking, like struggle is the name of the game. You have to brace yourself for this. That you're probably going to run against the wind all of the time,
right.
So you better enjoy the process, because it's not like the struggle is not going away.
Right, it's not easy.
Yep,
it's not easy to do. And then, so what was your after school? Did you start making short films, or did you make any features yet? Or
I have my first feature in development, and I hope to shoot it next year. And last year, I written and directed a TV series in Poland for French network Canal Plus.
Really?
And it was that was a hell of a fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that like a series?
It's a series of 10 one-hour long episodes.
Oh, wow.
Rather in the vein of Fargo. So it's a crime story with dark comedy undertones.
Right. And you're the one that writes the script as well?
Yeah, I wrote the script with two other friends. Mm-hmm. So we had a writer's room of three. And that was a brilliant experience.
Yeah. So what is it like writing with other people? I mean, do you guys, like you said, sit in one room and throw ideas, or is it that one person writes one part of the story and then the other ones come in and they go, okay, this is what we should add, and they write it themselves? How does it work? Is it all a collaboration every minute of the film?
I think it's whatever works. So we tried it all, or most of it. Mm. I think that the hardest part is the ego management, because we all have one, and it's usually there to come in a way.
Right.
It's usually there to mess things up.
Right.
So the thing is, like, for example, like we're let's say we're thinking up who's the main villain going to be. And you have an idea, I have an idea, and another person has an idea. And what's important is to have a feel for the best one to win,
regardless
of whose idea was it.
Okay.
And that's harder than it sounds.
Really?
it takes trust, and it takes humility to let the best idea win instead of my idea winning.
Exactly. Yeah. See, that'd be hard for me because I like my ideas. But I see what you're saying, you know, because you have to be open-minded and stuff, because after all, you guys are doing a joint project together, and you want to make sure that it's the best story you can tell, you know, regardless of who wrote what part.
Right.
I hear you. So those were friends of yours that you wrote the movie
with?
Oh,
yeah. These were friends, and I invited them to join the process. So I was secure in knowing who am I inviting on board.
Right.
And I really loved it. So that was
What was the name of that series?
Our English title is Switch and Snitch. The Polish one is different, but it won't tell you a thing. So,
okay.
So that's how...
Switch and Snitch.
That's
wow.
The code name.
And that was for French TV?
It's a French network. It's in 16 countries, if I'm not mistaken. And so we made it for the branch in Poland.
Okay, and what language was the movie in?
I think we've got 7 languages in there.
Really?
It's a mix, because you've got characters from different countries.
Different countries.
Right. Like, I mean, in here, when you cross a state, you're still speaking English. In our terms, when you cross 500 miles, you can switch the language
totally
three or four
different
times.
Culture, right?
Yeah.
So you had to have subtitles, obviously, for it, so everybody can understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
The show will run in spring. I think it's sometime, I don't know, February or March. Mm. So it hasn't aired yet.
Oh, okay. So that's something to look forward to. Very cool. How many countries, you said?
I mean, Canal Plus is in 16, but okay. I'm not certain what's the broadcast going to be. Yeah.
Right. But that's pretty good. I mean, that's quite a masterpiece, I guess, to create 10 different episodes for a whole series, you know, and tell a pretty big story, you know. So kudos to you for that. So your first short film, what was that?
My first short film was called The Watchmaker, and it was a funny exercise, because the thing was that we had to tell a story without using any dialogue. So it was called pure cinema.
Uh-huh.
So we had to think up a story and tell it entirely visually.
Wow!
And I think it was a good one. And I guess it's a better exercise. I think it's a brilliant exercise in a sense that the movies, it wasn't about the movies being great or not. It was being about challenging yourself to tell a story which can be understood by the audience without the crutches of dialogue.
Right.
Like you can't explain yourself with dialogue if something's fuzzy.
Yeah.
So that's been a brilliant experience, and I topped it off a couple of years later. I shot a short film in Italy with Italian actors and Italian crew, and I loved the experience just because I mean there are other reasons as well, but I loved it because I do not speak Italian.
Okay.
So I was working with a cast of Italian actors. They had, I've written the script in English. It was translated by the first AD. And I was on set directing our actors who spoke in dialogue in a language I didn't understand. And
okay.
What was magical in there, that some kind of emotional truth carries across the boundaries of languages.
Yeah.
I think we all experience honesty on a different level than just literal translation.
But that's quite a challenge to take on, you know. I mean, for you to decide, okay, I'm going to make a film that's in a language I don't speak and stuff, you know, that's not easy. I mean, some people would just go with the easiest way, you know what I'm saying? So that was pretty cool of you. And you wrote the story there too, right?
Yeah, I wrote the
okay.
story as well.
And how long ago was the film? When did you write that film?
I lost track. A couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. Maybe, so it's pretty recent.
Maybe like, I don't know, maybe like 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm not certain about that.
And was that like in the festival circuit?
Oh, yeah.
And stuff?
It went on the festival circuit as well. It was in a couple of festivals in the United States as well.
So. Yeah. How hard is it to get into a festival? Is it pretty difficult?
Again, you have to brace yourself for a flurry of letters saying regretfully. So you just attune yourself to looking for the word regretfully, or we're sorry to say that.
Yeah.
And then you don't read on, or you do. I mean, whatever.
The rest doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever. Like the rest doesn't really matter. And so the competition is just staggering, because if you imagine yourself in the shoes of a selection comedy. In where, let's say you've got 20 slots to fill with movies, and then you're sent 3,000 movies.
Wow.
So how do you pick? How
right.
do you pick that?
Right.
It's hard enough to pick a show to see in your Netflix in the evening, like mm-hmm. when you have in your dashboard, if you've got, let's say, 20 new shows.
That's true. I mean, I can never know what to watch. Sometimes I spend 15 minutes just trying to decide what
yeah.
to watch.
And
right?
you're deciding among, like, what, two dozens?
Right.
And imagine trying to pick and choose between 3,000. It must be insanity.
It is hard, and yet you're taking it on. You're not afraid of that, and you were able to get a couple of your movies in there. So that must make you feel proud of what you were able to do.
Oh, sure.
Right. Okay, so let's get to Atlas now. That's your most recent film. And in this, you tackle mental health and identity. So tell us a little bit about the story. Now, this one you made when? Last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
It premiered 2 years ago.
I see. And you wrote it as well?
Yeah, I wrote it as well. And that's a funny story how
that's a comedy, right?
Came about to be, yeah.
Okay.
So I wrote this script. I was in my fourth year of medical university when I decided to try to get into a film school to learn directing
right.
fiction.
Right.
And part of the submission was to write a script of about 30 pages, a fictional script, 30 pages in length. And at the time, I had classes in clinical psychiatry.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen a patient in a ward who became my main character in the
I
movie.
See. Okay.
So it's coming from real life.
Oh, okay.
There was a catatonic patient, so he stood upright, not moving, not speaking, entire days.
Wow.
And what fascinated me about this person was that very quickly an informed gossip started to spread around the world, with people trying to fill filled the mystery of the story of the person, because nobody knew who that guy was, why was he doing what he was doing, but it felt like we couldn't let it go at that, the surrounding, like we had to fill up his blank page with a story, and those stories were completely ridiculous and contradictory, but what fascinated me was that his identity was lost. We didn't know the factual identity of the person. So his identity in a story wise became manufactured.
Right, by other people.
Right. And that's what
full of assumptions, obviously, because they don't know the real story there. So people just make assumptions about who he is and make up stories. I can totally understand
and
that.
And later it turns out we can't live without these stories. Like, right. We really need them.
Interesting. So you picked a very talented actor, right? What's the star's name in the movie?
Tomáš Kott. And he's playing Atlas, the title character.
So the name, did somebody just give him the name? Because nobody knew what his real name was,
Oh,
right?
it was my invention.
No, but I mean in the story itself, people just in the ward gave him that
name? They just gave him a nickname.
Okay.
And that's another thing which is true, that patients in psychiatric wards and doctors as well, they start to give each other nicknames.
Uh-huh.
And usually these are devilishly perceptive. So like they capture some characteristic of a person, and it can like be stuck, like it can stick with a good nickname, and it just the person goes around and everybody knows, like, oh, the Atlas did this or did that, and everybody knows who they mean by saying Atlas.
And you picked the name because he's got his hands up holding the world or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what it is? So that's how he got the name Atlas. Okay, that makes sense. So you're saying that he arrived at the institute, and that's all he does is stands up and holds his hands up.
I mean, that's the setup. But I wouldn't want to bore you with a movie in which this person does nothing but stand there.
Right.
That'd be cruel.
So you're dealing more with the people around him?
Yeah.
I see. And so that's an interesting situation to be in. And so your inspiration was from a real person like that, right?
Yes.
That was like that. And how long did it take you to write something like this?
I can't remember how long exactly was it. Just recently I found a notebook with the first version of the script, and it was hilarious to see that some scene ideas were scribbled in between notes on physiology and psychiatry. So I would have some notes from a lecture and then a scene idea and then notes from another lecture. So it was created in a sort of sketchy.
Yeah, I guess
patchwork.
That's how a story comes together and so forth. You were the only one writing the story this time?
Yeah.
So it's correct. All your idea and stuff. Now, how I know usually with short films, well, the budget is very limited and everything. Did you get a producer for the film, or did you decide to produce it yourself?
Oh no, I produced it thanks to a marvelous program of Munk Studio that works in Poland, and that's a brilliant program for young filmmakers. It's called 30 Minutes, and it finances 30 minute long features.
Oh wow!
So it's a brilliant opportunity to make the stepping stone between film school shorts and your first feature length.
Right. Is that a government organization, or is it like a?
It is funded partly by Polish Film Institute.
Okay.
So it is public. It is publicly funded.
Right, but I would imagine not everybody gets the funds they want, again, you have to be.
There is a jury.
Stand
there is
out,
a committee
right?
which judges the submitted script based
right.
on its merit.
Yeah, so that's what they have to go by is just the script. They don't know how the film's going to be or anything like that.
I mean, you know, so, any producer has to take a risk.
Right.
Like you can read the script, you can see the portfolio of previous body of work, but it's always a risk.
Right.
What's it going to be? And what I particularly admire about the committee in Monk Studio is that they are allowing the filmmaker enough freedom to sometimes prove them wrong. So
yeah.
The committee would say, don't do this because this is not going to work. This is what we advise.
Right.
But once they picked the filmmaker to make this 30 minutes long feature, they give the person the final say.
Mm.
So if you're adamant and if you're stuck, if you're like hard-headed, like, no, this is how I'm going to do this. I know what I'm doing. Say, fine. So prove us wrong.
Yeah, I see.
And sometimes it works. Sometimes you prove them wrong. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But I think it's a tremendous opportunity
yeah.
to be able to create a piece exactly how you've envisioned it. I mean, the normal producer's market would not allow that.
Right.
It's unheard of.
Right.
So. Even bigger kudos for the program.
And what kind of budget do they give you? I mean, I'm sure it's pretty limited, right? But do they allow you to, well, I don't know. I mean, is it something that, I guess a 30-minute film they can pretty much cover, right? As far as paying for production and post-production and all that goes with it.
It's a combination of a number of factors.
Mm-hmm.
So there ain't giving you millions. That's
right.
for certain. But it's for a short. It's a sizable budget.
I see.
You can work with this. And secondly, I'm really grateful for the industry in Poland in a way how it treats how it helps the up-and-comers create their films. So the brilliant crew, the brilliant cast worked for a fraction of their normal fees,
right?
Just for the heck of it, and they help out. Like they send the elevator down, and that's admirable.
Yeah.
Of them to do.
Absolutely. So so the film is it 30 minutes or is it shorter?
It's 22.
Oh, 22. Okay, because that's kind of long for a short film, right?
It's kind of long for a short film, and it's a tricky format because you need more complication than for a 10-minute short. Like in a 10-15 minutes long short, you have just one act. So basically, there's one major change happening, once you're over that, once you're gravitating towards 20 something minutes, then it's you need more to happen to make it worthwhile to watch,
right.
And at the same time you cannot cram in too many obstacles, because then it becomes fuzzy or it becomes muddled, like
right.
you don't know what the story is
exactly,
so
like
it's a difficult
almost
format.
Incomplete yeah. It is pretty tricky to work in that. Did you feel that it took an extra effort to keep it short? Could you have taken longer to tell the story?
Yeah, it took extra effort, and it took mentally tattooing Ernest Hemingway's words, "Kill your darlings," behind my eyeballs, because it's a temptation to adorn, to expand,
right.
To add another anecdote, especially in a film like mine, in which the main storyline is happening around the main character.
Right.
So it's weaved through stories of other doctors and patients, which they tell about Atlas.
I see.
And it's a number of stories which become interconnected and build up to a big bang at the end.
Right.
And so, because of this structure, it would be very easy to add another couple, like to add another story and another story,
right.
Because it's almost like a matryoshka construct, like a structure, like
right.
there's one inside another, and inside another, inside another, and then to limit yourself to the very essence is a difficult task, because as filmmakers you always want to tell more, show more, do more. So this minimalism is a difficult thing.
Right. And you had a pretty extensive cast, right? How many people did you have in the cast?
Oh, we had a big cast. I do not recall the exact
right.
number.
Right. But that must take an effort too, right? To cast so many people in the parts and everything.
Yes.
Where did you have a pool of actors to choose from? Auditions? You would put out ads and stuff?
I had help of a fantastic casting director.
Okay.
And she helped immeasurably in making this happen. So a lot of the actors are from theaters or it's a different market in Poland. So usually film actors would usually play in theaters as well all the time. The division is not as clearly not as distinct as in the market in the US where you'd have actors who are like specifically film actors and they do not
cross over to theater,
they do not cross over on stage.
Right.
It has its upsides and its downsides. The upside is you can always go see a play and see your it's like rehearsal for free because yeah, right. You go see a play and it's a completely different experience to see somebody live on stage than just watching casting videos.
Right.
So it was a combination of going to theaters and seeing the actors play live, of meetings, watching some of their previous material. Right. And it was a difficult task, but I'm so happy we managed to find this fantastic team.
Yeah, and tell the story. Now, also, obviously, you know, one person can't make a movie. What about photography and everything? Did you find that? Were you doing the photography yourself?
Oh, no.
You were the director, pretty much.
Yes, I was the writer and director. I was very, very fortunate to work with Paweł Dylus, who's a brilliant cinematographer, and we made a number of short films and commercials before Atlas, so I knew I was in safe hands.
Right.
So any filmmaking catastrophe which is bound to happen on any film set, I was sure that we are going to pull through. If Pavel is behind the camera, I was sure that we're good. We're right. Good.
Did you spend a lot of time in post-production too? Telling
yes,
the story?
Yes, both pre-production and post-production were very, very lengthy for different reasons. So the pre-production, the major factor which extended the pre-production was location scouting. So I could possibly be a guide to Polish castles and monasteries and weird places after visiting so many. Wow. So I was looking for the location with location scouts and with the set designer for months. And in the end, we found a 12th century monastery, which is currently abandoned, and it's an eerie, magical place. Wow. Where we shot. It's amazing. Just being there transported you to some different reality, and to shoot a film there was really magical. Mm. And the post-production was lengthy too. There's an extensive visual effects sequence at the end of the film, and it took a lot to make it happen. There was a very lengthy process, and I'm very happy with the result.
Right,
but
that's unusual for a short, right? To have visual effects and stuff. Usually in shorts, it's more like character driven and things like that, right? So you were able to integrate that into it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed the process. It takes patience. You need Zen like patience of a Buddhist monk or something, because you see an effect, how it's rendered, And after talking over some feedback, you need to wait 2 or 3 or 4 days before the second version is rendered.
That's
and
true.
And there's nothing you can do in between.
right. I know. I was in computer animation many years ago, and I know what that is. I mean, and today it's a lot faster than it used to be to render scenes and things like that. You know,
yep.
So I know how that is, and especially when they make photorealistic things and stuff like Pixar movies and
yes.
things like that, takes years to do.
Yes.
So, and the post-production, that's really where you get to put everything together and tell the story.
Yes.
Right. And did you have a good editor there who was...
I worked with two editors.
Two editors?
And this process was long as uh-huh. well. As I mentioned, the structure of the film is like a patchwork. So there's a million different ways you can put it together, and after the first cut, which was made exactly as the script was written, it felt close to being there, but not being completely there.
Right.
And then it took a number of months to find the best way of creating that patchwork.
Right.
At some point, I felt lost. Like after you do a couple dozen different cuts, and the story is not linear. It's mm-hmm. it's a non-linear story.
Then you
can lost yourself. You can lose yourself in a myriad of options. And so at some point, I needed to take a break. I needed to take a look at the raw footage with another editor. And then the final version is a combination of ideas and solutions that both editors figured out.
Right.
So it was a lengthy thing to accomplish.
But you're obviously happy with the results.
Oh, I'm very happy with the results.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And the movie is Polish speaking, right? So there's subtitles and everything.
Yes.
And people, I mean, many short films are like that because. I know many of them are done in Europe and in South America, so often they go into art house theaters and things like that where the festivals take place.
Yes,
very cool. Now, so all the actors were Polish, right?
Yes.
And
I'll tell you a thing about this film being Polish. My first mm-hmm. festival which I attended. With Atlas International Festival was in
right.
Sydney Flickr Fest, and a great event to visit. So that was my first encounter with 100% foreign audience watching the film.
Right.
By that time, Atlas has won a number of awards on Polish festivals, so I knew it had good reception in its mother tongue. But that was the first audience to watch it with subtitles and like seeing the story made half a world away, spoken in a different language. And thanks, it's a comedy. So when the story came up on screen and people started to giggle and then laugh, I felt such a big relief. Like, oh right, it's translating. It's working. Like
right.
this audience on the other half of the world, they get it.
Yeah.
They get it. And
which is a good feeling, you know.
Oh,
you want to make sure it's
yeah.
a universal thing.
Yes. And yeah. and so later to win two Academy Award qualifying film festivals was such a big thrill.
I'm sure.
And I was so pleasantly surprised in the fact that oh wow, that like, so people in different countries really get this story
and
it really resonates.
Right.
Like,
right.
Something
it's like a baby, you know, that you want to be accepted by everybody. You
yes.
know? Very nice. And then at what point are they going to decide when are they going to start deciding who is a contender or who is nominated actually?
So if I may be talking nonsense at the moment, but my understanding is that at the moment my film is qualified to be considered winning those qualifying festivals. So the committee inside Motion Picture Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will vote to include to cut down the list from the long list which is right now to a short list of about 10 to about 10 short films.
Right.
And I think that should happen around December.
Okay.
And then this list will be cut down even further to
five or something,
to
right?
five or something that right. will be nominated.
Wow. Well, we wish you the best, you know. I mean, you deserve this. You put in a lot of effort into the movie. And it's I saw the trailer, and it's pretty pretty funny, I think. And also, you can tell the acting is good. I like that. And I don't know the whole story, obviously, because I didn't watch the whole film. But in 30 minutes, I suppose there's quite a bit you can tell.
Yes.
You know. And so you're saying in the future, you're working on a feature film now?
Yes. Also with Tomasz Kot. Working with Tomasz is a dream.
Really?
It's a dream come true for a director. Uh-huh. That's my perspective.
So is he pretty known in... back in Poland?
I think he's the best actor in the country. That's my personal take. He's a big star.
Yeah.
He's a big star.
So that's a great get for you.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed for his international career, especially after Cold War.
Right.
By Paweł Pawlikowski. His career has really skyrocketed.
Right.
So I think we are sure to see more of him.
And he was in the movie Cold War?
Yes.
Okay.
He was the lead in Cold War, which was nominated for 3 Academy Awards last year.
Really? Wow. I haven't heard of it, but okay, if you say so. Well, congratulations on that. You know, I mean, I'm always honored to meet people that are motivated, you know, to create great stuff. And I wish you all the best. Matthew Kowalski, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam.
I hope you continue enjoying your trip in the U.S. How long are you going to be here still?
About 3 weeks.
3 weeks? That's good enough. You'll have time to visit as well as do business and things like
yes,
that. So that's
yes.
nice. And you get to go to different parts of the country too.
Right.
So that's amazing.
That's brilliant.
Well, good luck to you. I hope to see you back when you're nominated and
all
when
right.
you win and everything.
We'll do.
Don't forget us when you do. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.